Travis. Good job on that. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We have taken the last few Sunday or Thursday night midweek service, and we're talking about exposing what the Bible calls is another gospel. We could also talk about cults and another gospel. And so we've kind of given some intro messages to that. And so for the next several weeks, I'm going to kind of go through and highlight some of the false gospels out there, tell you about the groups, their originations, and tell you what they believe concerning salvation and security. And then we'll make the determination according to the Bible if they preach the true gospel. And we'll let their beliefs back up to the scripture beliefs. And we won't do any condemning. We'll just compare belief to belief. And we'll let the Word of God speak for itself. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do the next several weeks, Lord willing. So tonight we're going to, and we're going to use probably each week this passage as our launch pad for what we're going to teach. So Galatians chapter 1, if you find your place, stand with me as we read the Scripture together. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 9. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me into the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. And let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the truth of the Scripture. I pray now you speak to us, God, and help us. Lord, I pray that you'd give me strength, Lord, and help me to say what you'd have for me to say and not to say what I shouldn't say, God. And pray that you just bless the teaching of your word tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about the Jehovah Witnesses, and probably the two main ones we think of when we think of a cult. We think of the JWs and the Mormons, and but there's many other things out there besides those two. And so we're going to start with those because those are the main ones that probably we interact with because the fact that they, you know, come to the doors and talk to us. And so I actually knocked on a Jehovah Witnesses door the other day. I don't think they knew quite how to take me. And So I want to give you some things tonight. And again, I'm just going to give you their history, their origin, and then show you what they teach about salvation, and then show you what the Bible teaches about it. All right, now, first of all, what as Christians, we trace our roots right back to Christ, our founder. And one thing you're going to find that all these cults have in common is that they trace their roots and founding back to another human being. And we do the same, except our founder wasn't just a man, amen? He was the God-man, and he was Christ. And so, but that's not true with a lot of these other cults and things like that. So let me give you the origin of the JWs, all right? Here's a name that if you talk to a JW, is a name very sacred to them, and that is Charles Taze Russell. He was their founder. In the early 1870s, he organized a Bible study group in, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, all right? And that's where he started at. Initially, they held many views similar to other 19th century Adventist groups, such as the Millerites, okay? I didn't say Miller Lite, okay? I said Millerites, although they're probably about the same, right? Basically, what all these groups had in common was that their followers made false predictions of when Christ would return. And so that's kind of something that cemented a common thread between all these groups. So Charles Taze Russell was a follower of William Miller. And they taught differently in some things, but they had a lot of things alike. In 1876, Russell met a man named Nelson Barber. and adopted Barber's eschatology view. Eschatology simply means a study of last things, okay? Barber predicted, get this, a visible return of Christ in 1873. And when he failed to occur, when Jesus failed to come, he revised his prediction to 1874. Well, when Christ didn't come in 1874, then he decided that Christ did come in 1874, but he actually came invisibly. All right, there you go. How else you try to save credibility when you make all these false predictions? In 1879, Russell broke with Barber over some doctrine. But yet he retained the bulk of Barber's views. And then at this time is when Russell began publishing his own magazine. In 1881, Russell formed the legal entity which developed into the nonprofit organization, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania. Right now they're headquartered in, and they've been there for quite some time, Brooklyn, New York. In 1884, this legal entity was incorporated with Russell as the president. He authored a six-volume series called Studies in the Scripture. And then in 1916, he died and found out everything he believed was wrong. And after Russell, then the next founder was a man named, or the next leader was a man named Joseph Franklin Rutherford. And he was elected the second president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. In fact, before the Jehovah Witnesses took that name, Jehovah Witness, they were known as Russellites, of course, after their founder, Charles Taze Russell. Many of the followers left after Rutherford took over, and because he instituted an era of change and ignored, altered, or denied hundreds of Russell's teachings. And so in Rutherford, after he passed away, a man named Nathan Corr was elected president of the society. And this was about the same time that the New World Translation of the Bible came about. And this is the Bible translation that the JWs use, the New World Translation. And they say, now, you got to remember that a lot of these false cults, they're very deceptive in what they say and how they say certain things, okay? They claim that the Bible, which really isn't the Bible because it's the New World Translation, that it is their authority of faith and practice. However, now this is very important here, the interpretation and application of the Scripture is the sole responsibility of the governing body. Okay? And what that means is this. Any scriptural views the JWs have are solely translated through what's the Watchtower and all the writings of Charles Taze Russell. Okay? In fact, a way that you could witness to a Jehovah Witness and maybe get through to them, it's not to argue scripture, because they're taught how to refute any type of scriptural type debatings, if you will. The only way to get through to them and maybe actually start cracking through their faith is to start attacking the Watchtower. And I shouldn't say attacking, but get them to doubt their faith in the Watchtower, because they can't interpret the Scripture without the Watchtower helping them interpret the Scripture. Now, by the way, think about that. If you're Charles Russell and you want to control a mass group of people, why not get them to think that they can't understand the Bible unless you help them understand the Bible? Okay, and so again, folks, as I taught before when we started a few weeks ago, one of the main things of all cults is that they have an extra scriptural source of authority. And for the JWs, it's the Watchtower, okay? And that society, all their publication society, amen? And for us, we believe that the Scripture is what we get our authority from. And we don't need anyone's help telling us what the Bible says. We can just get it straight from the Lord, amen? And thus saith the Lord, not thus saith this publication about what they think God means, all right? And so thus saith the Lord. So that is a very short history, if you will, an origin of the Jehovah Witnesses. So they came into existence in about 1870, and their founder was a man named Charles Taze Russell. Now let's get into their doctrine, because that's really what's going to determine whether they're a cult or not. What is it they believe concerning salvation? Well, first of all, let's look and see what they believe about the person of salvation, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. their main false belief is that they do not believe Jesus Christ is God. They deny His deity, okay? They believe that He was a God, all right? And that Him and Lucifer were brothers created by God. Now, right, that right there is blatantly false, amen? All right? And it's no wonder you start getting off into a lot of other things they believe that's wrong when you don't, when you're not starting out by even believing the right thing about Christ, okay? Now, let me just say this very emphatically from Scripture, Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Okay, the Bible says, let me give you a couple of verses on this. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, how can you read that verse and not see a couple things? First of all, the fact that Jesus Christ is God and that He is equal with God the Father. Amen? All right? And so, that they deny the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And the Bible clearly teaches us that He is God. They teach that He was the very first created being. But the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 2, the same, talking about Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I forgot to read that verse after Isaiah 9:6. But the Bible clearly tells us that the Word, talking about Christ, was God. And then the very next same verse says the same was in the beginning with God. Okay? So that meant that He was there with the Father in the beginning. In fact, you go back to Genesis and you read the aspect of creation, and you see different pronouns in there. God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Okay, now, was God schizophrenic? Okay, did they write the wrong pronouns there? No, neither of those things happened. Amen? You know what you find in every aspect of creation? You find the Trinity. You see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? They're all there active in creation. And so Jesus Christ was not the first created being like the JWs teach. The JWs teach that, that then God used Christ to create all else after He made Christ. Now, that one is a little tricky because it is a little close to the truth, because Jesus Christ did create all things, but He created all things as God Himself. All right? John 1:3. All things were made by Him, talking about Jesus the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay? And so, but they believe that as the first created being of God, then He created all things. They believe that Jesus Christ is the one who is the means through which you approach God in prayer. Again, that's similar, okay? And they call Him, though, the chief agent of life. And they believe that salvation is for all worthy mankind. Isn't that interesting? All worthy mankind. Well, I hate to tell you folks, salvation's not for the worthy, salvation's for the unworthy. Because there ain't anybody that deserves salvation. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to save those that are perfect upon the earth. Is that what the Scripture says? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Amen? And that's all of us. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners. Amen? And then Paul put it in there, who I am chief. All right? And so listen, folks, Jesus Christ, salvation is not just offered for all worthy mankind. Salvation is offered for the unworthy. All right? They believe then that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and of course, there's a little bit of truth in that to be the mediator of the new covenant. But it's only limited to those going to heaven, which only totals, we all know what number, right? 144,000. The vast majority of God's faithful servants will live on a renewed paradise earth. Now again, there's some truth mixed in with this. And remember what I've taught you before. Okay, what makes this so damnable is not that it's 100% error and 0% truth. What makes it so dangerous is that there's probably 80-20, 90-10. Okay, and although I would say with the JWs, it's not that high. Okay, but there is some truth mingled in with their whacked out crazy beliefs. All right, it is Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant? Absolutely. He's sitting right now at the right hand of the Father. He's our intercessor, amen? He's making mediation for us. And so that part is true, all right? Will God's faithful servants inherit a renewed earth? Absolutely. The Bible says God's going to remake a new heaven and a new earth, and I believe part of eternity we're going to enjoy that, amen? So there's some truth mixed in there, but here's the problem, all right? Nowhere ever does the Bible teach that only 144,000 people are going to heaven. In fact, the Bible teaches us that salvation in heaven's for anyone. Here's the biblical word, whosoever will. Amen? I love the way the King James Bible words stuff. Amen? Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. That's pretty much anybody, right? And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let me tell you, our salvation, the Bible salvation, is a whosoever will gospel. Amen? Whosoever will. Romans 10:13, we talked about, I used a verse Sunday night, for whosoever, excuse me, so like I went through puberty there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? Whosoever will. Now, where's this 144,000 come in? Well, it's, again, taking Scripture out of context. Remember, Charles Taze Russell was all about eschatology, in last time thing. No doubt he was in the book of Revelation, and no doubt he somehow misinterpreted that 144,000. But let me just say this. The Bible is crystal clear who those 144,000 are. Okay? They are 12,000 Jewish young men who are virgins from all 12 tribes of the nations of Israel. 12 times 12, 144,000. And the purpose for the 144,000 is God, they get saved during the tribulation as a result of the two witnesses that God will send down during the tribulation. One of those we know will be Elijah. The other one probably is going to be Enoch or Moses. That's up to interpretation. But either one, those two witnesses come down. They preach the gospel. Those 144,000 young men are saved. Then they preach the gospel to the other parts of the world. Okay? And so that's who the 144,000 are. So this idea that just 144,000 people are going to heaven is absolutely not even close to what the Scripture teaches. Okay? So that's what they believe about Jesus. Now, what do they believe about the human soul? What do they believe about eternity? They believe that the soul is the human body and consciousness, not an entity that dwells within the physical body. Okay? Now again, that's not a biblical interpretation of what the soul is. Okay, let me give you some verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to these verses here describing mankind. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, talking about your body, amen? Because our bodies are a temple. Okay, our bodies aren't the real us, they're just the house that the real us lives in. Okay? So if those were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen? Talking about the new body we're going to get to be in heaven one of these days. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Can I get an amen there? Amen? Let me tell you, folks, the wicker this world gets, the more the song, this world's not my home, I'm just a passing through, means to me. Okay? The deeper yearning I have for heaven. And that, by the way, that's the way it ought to be for a Christian. Amen? This is just a temporary journey we're on called life. Our citizenship is in heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Amen. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit. What he's talking about there is that the Holy Spirit is our earnest or our down payment until we get the thing paid in full. Amen? And you know when that's going to be? That's either going to be when that trumpet sounds and we're out of here, or we close our eyes in death. All right? The Holy Spirit is our down payment to seal us till we get to heaven. Therefore, we are, listen to this, always confident. Amen? Listen to me. God wants you knowing that this stuff is true. Not hoping, not, well, maybe that's kind of what it's going to be type thing. Confident. Amen? Let me tell you, if you can't have confidence in God, you can't have confidence in anybody. If you can't have confidence in the Word of God, we're in a heap of trouble. Amen? Knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay, so what's separating us from being in the presence of God? This right here. Sorry about that. I just gave you all my germs. I hope you don't get sick. Amen. But no, you know what's keeping us from being in the presence of the Lord? These bodies. Right? Because the Bible says this, whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, again, there's that word, confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So as soon as you leave, what leaves? Okay, you know what leaves? Your soul is what leaves. Okay? As soon as your soul leaves this body as a Christian, you are immediately in the presence of the Lord. Okay? That's not the same biblical philosophy or the Bible principle that they believe about the soul. They just believe the soul is your body and consciousness. Okay? That is not what the soul is. And the reason that is not true, folks, because when God made man, He made us different than any other of His creation. Back in Genesis, and the Bible says that God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. Okay, we are different from all other creation, okay? And so their teaching about the soul is wrong. And the reason that they believe that about the soul is because of this next false belief, because they think death is annihilation. Wrong. Okay, let me tell you something. When this body dies, you're not dead, okay? Oh, your body might be dead, but you're going to be somewhere. Okay? And they believe that death is simply annihilation. I'm going to tell you right now, hell is just as real and just as bad as the Bible says it is. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, your immortal soul is going to live someplace for all eternity. It's either going to live in heaven and have eternal life, or it's going to live in hell and suffer eternal death. But I'm going to tell you, you're eternal. Amen? Because God's eternal, and He put within us Himself, okay, the breath of life, a part of Him, into every single human being, and that soul is going to live somewhere forever. Amen? By the way, I'm not going to go back and re-preach it because I talked about it Sunday night in quite depth, but that story we read about the Lazarus and rich man, it seemed to me the rich man pretty knew what was going on when he was in hell. He was aware, he was conscious, he saw, he heard, he felt, he remembered. In fact, let me just say this. After death, you're more alive after death than you are now. Okay? And so don't fall for this thing that death is a state of unconsciousness. And by the way, how convenient is that? Okay? To believe that, you know what? Well, you know, when you die, that's just it. Wrong. That's not just it. Amen? Okay? And they, of course, don't believe in hell. They believe hell is not a place of fiery torment, but rather the common grave of all mankind. That's what they say hell means in the Bible. It's just a grave. Well, really, again, if we had time, let's go to Luke 16 and see if that's just a grave. Let's just see if that man was soul sleeping, okay? And so, of course, that is a false doctrine. So that's what they believe about the soul and eternity. And then, of course, then what do they believe leads to salvation? What do they believe leads to that? Well, they believe that immortality or salvation is a reward for faithfulness. It does not come automatically to a human at birth. Now, to that statement, I would say that's correct. Salvation does not come automatically at birth. Just because you have the gift of life does not mean you have the gift of eternal life. Just because Jesus Christ died doesn't mean everyone's going to heaven, because something must be done about what Christ did. Amen? Okay? But they are wrong when they say immortality or salvation is a reward for faithfulness. They say salvation is by personal merit and good works. No wonder they drive people crazy knocking on their doors. Because here's what they believe. They believe that based upon how much they work will determine their status in eternity or if they even get to eternity. And by the way, if I thought my salvation was dependent upon me going around knocking doors, you better believe I'd be out there 4, 5, 6 days a week knocking down the doors. If I thought that me going to heaven depended upon me evangelizing or false evangelizing, I guess what they're doing. But here's the thing, folks. We clearly know the fact that salvation is by grace through faith and has nothing to do with our works. Nothing. Okay? Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, folks. Salvation is a 100% work of God. Okay? And the only way you're going to get saved is by accepting it as a free gift. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's not Jesus plus church membership. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus evangelism. It's not Jesus plus this good work, that bad work. It's Jesus plus nothing. Okay? And so, you know what? That's not what they believe. And of course, no wonder they're so motivated to get out there and do what they do. All right? So, that's their teaching concerning salvation. That Jesus Christ is not God. Okay? That He was a created being, and that man doesn't have a living soul, and that if you do die without believing in the Jehovah Witnesses God or whatever they do, or they say that they believe in, that you'll just go to a state of non-existence, and that if you do want to be saved, then you've got to, it's based upon your personal merit and good work. Okay, so it's a total work salvation, all right? And by the way, they're not even working for the right God anyway. Because I'm going to tell you, the Jesus of the JWs is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, by the way. Okay? And so that's their teaching concerning salvation. What's their teaching concerning security? Okay, because remember, salvation, the aspect of the gospel is being saved, and then once we're saved, we're secured by God. Amen? All right? And so what do they teach about security? All right, the JWs teach that he must zealously work for Jehovah in order to obtain his favor. Okay? Now again, as Christians, I believe once we are saved, we ought to zealously work for our Savior. Amen? But let me tell you why we ought to do it. We ought to do it, you know why? Because He loved us and He saved us. And listen, folks, out of a debt of gratitude, a debt of love, we ought to work for Him. But whether you work for Him or not isn't determining whether or not you're going to heaven. All right? Now, reward, okay, the reward that God wants to give us when we do get to heaven is based upon labor. The Bible teaches us that. Okay? But your salvation getting to heaven is not based upon anything you can do. So again, they think that they can only keep their definition of salvation if they zealously work for Jehovah. They believe that, this is sad to me, only after death can it be known of a witness's dedication and service whether or not it's been sufficient. Isn't that sad? They believe that only after death. So even after all this work that they do, they still think that they still can't have any type of hope or confidence that it is enough. By the way, isn't that just something the devil would do? Let me tell you something, folks. That is not how God is toward us. Amen? Because God lets us know, first of all, you can know before death that you're going to heaven. Okay? And you can also know, because we follow His Word, that you're living a life pleasing to Him while you're on this earth. Okay? That's why you got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. Okay, by the way, I'm going to tell you this in a minute. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Again, surprise, surprise, right? Okay, and you know, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit, you get off track, and He'll let you know about it. Okay, it's called conviction. It's called being a reprover. That's part of His job, is to reprove us, to keep us in line, so that, you know what, we might be found well-pleasing in His sight, the Bible says. Amen? And so, yes, you can know before you die, number one, that you are going to heaven, and then number two, you are pleasing the Lord. So, all that to say, when we compare that to the true gospel, all right, is what they teach the true gospel? Emphatically, very confidently, no. They do not teach a true gospel. You know why? Because, first of all, hell is a real place. Okay, Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Salvation is for the unworthy, and salvation cannot be earned. Okay, so the Bible clearly blows holes in their false doctrine. Then I did a little bit of research. Let me just give you some other beliefs of the Jehovah Witnesses. Some of these are like biblical beliefs. Others are more traditional beliefs. And there's a lot more than what I'm going to give you tonight. I'm going to just give you a couple more things here, okay? They believe, the reason they call themselves Jehovah Witnesses, because they believe that that's God's only one true name by which they must be identified by. But the truth is, folks, God reveals Himself by many names in His Word. Many names. Okay, just for example, in your King James Bible, when you see that word Lord, just that word Lord has many names. Okay, when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is a name given to God. Okay, it means Jehovah, the self-existent one. Okay, and so you know what? Jehovah is not the only name given to God. He's known by many things. They believe that the Trinity is unbiblical because the word's not used in the Bible, and because the Bible emphasizes that there's only one God. Now, I will give him that. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but the principle is in the Bible. Amen? There's a lot of other words that we use that's not found in the Bible, but the principles are there. The word rapture is not found. The word's not found in the Bible. But guess what? There's going to be a rapture. Amen? The biblical doctrine of the rapture is found in the Bible. Okay? I told you this Sunday, the word missionary is not found in the Bible. But the concept of being ambassadors for Christ and preaching the gospel to all the world is found in the Bible. Okay? So this idea, just because a word's not found in the Bible, doesn't mean it's not true, is something that they just made up. Jehovah Witnesses believe that when Jesus was born on the earth, He was a mere human and not God in human flesh. Again, robbing Him of His deity. They don't believe He was deity in heaven, and they don't believe He was deity here on earth. They believe, this is interesting, that Jesus died on a torture stake, not a cross. In any of their literature, if you ever have seen any of that, and by the way, if you're ever out and you see their stuff, take it and get rid of it. Okay, I do that. Okay, I mean, if I'm out and about and I see their stuff in bathrooms, if I see their stuff in doctor's offices, if I'm out knocking doors and I see their stuff in doors, I get it out of there. You know why? Because it's a false gospel. That's why. But I've read through some of that stuff before. And they never show Jesus dying on a cross. They always show Him with His hands above Him like this. And they believe He died on a torture stake, not a cross. They believe that Jesus, listen to this. This is crazy. That He was resurrected spiritually, but not physically. Okay, well, you don't believe in a human soul, but now you're getting spiritual all of a sudden. Okay, and so they believe that again, how convenient, that the second coming was an invisible spiritual event that occurred in the year 1914. Well, okay, first of all, if it was invisible, how do you know it happened in 1914, right? And so, but anyway, that's what they believe. They believe that the Holy Spirit is an impersonable force of God and not a distinct person. And again, folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit is one of the persons of the triune Godhead. The Bible teaches when we get saved, He comes and indwells our bodies. Amen? And our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me give you a list of things that they're forbidden to do. And again, a lot of this has to do more with their elders having control over them. Because let me tell you something, folks. If you're part of a cult, you got to have control over the masses. And they've got all kinds of crazy things that their elders use to control them. They cannot have best friends or activity buddies who are not Jehovah Witnesses. They cannot associate with people outside their organization when it's not necessary. They cannot attend social functions sponsored by their employer unless attendance is required. They cannot associate with coworkers after business hours in a social setting. They cannot disagree with their organization's rules and code of conduct. Wow, surprise, surprise, right? They can't disagree with their organization's doctrines. Wow, isn't that interesting? How dare you question these elders, right? By the way, isn't that almost like setting their elder or their bishop, whatever they call them, up as a god? Okay? Let me tell you something. You've heard me say this before, and I mean it, all right? You hold me as the pastor of this church accountable. That word right there. If I start deviating from that word and I start preaching false doctrine and false heresy, you better get me out the door. Okay? You better not blindly follow me. Okay? Now you, as the Apostle Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. But you better be active enough in this word that if I would ever, God forbid, and I hope God would kill me before I ever did it, by the way. I mean that. If I would ever deviate from the truth of this word of God, I'd just as soon be dead than lead people astray from the truth of the word of God. By the way, God heard me say that tonight. Okay? But you know what? Listen, folks. If something, God forbid, would happen to me, you ought to be strong enough in your faith where it wouldn't rock your world spiritually. I'm not saying it wouldn't hurt. I'm not saying it may not cause some damage. But you shouldn't lose your faith over a man that you've looked to that's fallen away from the truth. Okay? But you know what? They've got to keep power over the masses. So because of that, you know what they say? You can't disagree with the organization's doctrine. They're not allowed to contribute to a presidential campaign. Or anything like that. They cannot join the armed forces and defend their country. They can't, this ticks me off, can't say the Pledge of Allegiance, salute the flag, or vote. They sure want to enjoy the privileges of America, but they don't want to contribute to what it does for America to be what it is. Amen? Okay? In that case, once you go get your little Jehovah's Witness island somewhere and go there and do your thing there. They can't run for leadership in their organization. Think about this. Jehovah's Witnesses are appointed and invited to be leaders. Okay? Again, it's the people have no say over it. All right? They can't run for leadership in any organization that takes a stand for political issues inside their organization. They can't take a stand on any political or worldly issue outside their organization. They can't campaign for a political candidate. They can't hold a political office. How about this? They can't use a gun for protection against humans. Okay? They can't become a police officer if a gun is required. They can't wear military uniforms or clothing associated with war. They cannot donate blood or have a blood transfusion. And they must not keep secrets from the organizations. In fact, JWs are to report friends and family members breaking rules. Do you know what they're doing, literally? They're causing people to choose loyalty to the organization more than their own family. In fact, I have talked to people before, and I've heard where their families have been broken up because the children have spied on the parents and reported to the church elders and broken families up over that kind of stuff. They encourage that. They encourage the kids to spy on the parents and so that, you know, everyone can follow the rules, all right? Now, truth be told, you know what? I want people to follow the Word of God. Let me just say this. Whether or not you do or not is really not my business. Now, if you're going to hold an office in the church and you want to, teach the Word of God, then there's certain requirements you do have to fulfill because you're in a leadership position. But truth be told, folks, I'm not standing before the Lord and I'm not going to be at your side. You'll give an account to God for how you lived your life. Now, I will for sure preach, thus saith the Lord, and I'll tell you what you ought to do, but what you do in your own home is your business between you and God. Okay? In fact, you know, I really could care less what's going on in your home. I mean, I hope it's right. I pray that it's right. I mean, I don't want you selling drugs or doing other things that you shouldn't be doing out of your home, all right? But you know what? That's between you and God, all right? We're not going to have people go in and start trying to spy on you and figure out what you are or aren't doing. But you know what? That's not what this is about. You know why? Because it's about control, that's why. And so again, let me tell you, when I read these things, you know, I really don't get angry other than the devil because he's so deceptive. Literally, every time I drive past a Kingdom Hall, you know what I think? Those poor, deceived souls. Those people who literally think, I mean, they're dedicated, are they not? I mean, you know, they're out there doing what they do. In fact, sad to say, they even put some Christians to shame, don't they? I wish we'd get so consumed about giving out the true gospel as they do about giving out a false gospel. Okay? If we would be so consumed the way they are consumed, we may have reached this world by now. Okay? But you know what? No, as Christians, we have the truth, but you know, we're more concerned about the things and cares of this life. But you know what? When I drive past a Kingdom Hall, I think to myself, man, they're just deceived. And I pray for them. I pray that God would somehow lift the blinders off. Maybe someone could get the truth to them. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, what a sad reality when you've lived your whole life thinking that you're going to, you know, be in some redeemed earth sometime and wake up in the flames of a hell you didn't even believe in. What a sad thing. Amen? And so, why am I teaching you these things? First of all, I'm teaching these things so you can be informed. And second of all, I'm teaching these things so you don't get sucked into false doctrine. Amen? Because the devil's slick, all right? And he'll do everything he can to try to get us off track. So I pray this will be a help and a blessing. All right.